All right, hey everybody, welcome back to the Jesse Nyberg podcast. Today we're finally live in person. We got a really cool guest, Dewey. Is this Saunders or Sanders?
Yeah, Saunders.
Okay, cool. So he's like a really talented collage artist, done a lot of cool album art and just stuff with brands, and I really wanted to bring him on and get a little insight from him. So here he is. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for having me on your show.
Of course. So what have you been kind of doing lately ever since everything's been closed? Has your work been the same?
Fortunately, my workflow hasn't really changed too much. I think people are probably making music at a faster rate.
Yeah.
So there's always a need for album art and single art.
Is that your most, like, I don't know about not only like profitable, but maybe like just like volume of work is mostly music stuff?
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely my specialty, and I would say like the music stuff isn't as profitable as like advertising or like branding projects, but
it's more fun.
It's definitely like, it's definitely really fun and a great just avenue to work with like cool bands and stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like you've worked with like pretty diverse like type of artists, you know.
Yeah.
You have like Pac and like Future, like even though they're like somewhat in the same genre, you can't really like compare them. And then you have like Turnstile, which is not even really the same at all, you know, hardcore and stuff. But
yeah, it's a completely different world.
When did you first get interested in like the analog kind of stuff and like just old magazines and all that?
I found myself collecting magazines and books kind of like in the Tumblr era, and then I would just like post stuff and kind of like
2012 or something.
Yeah, kind of like collect like printed matter and like scans, and then like the archive grew and I just had like a huge library to pull from. So the collaging thing was always like on the side. I mostly came from like an illustration and graphic design background.
Yeah.
And the collaging was just like in my sketchbooks, like random. Nothing really dedicated until, you know, like 2011, 2012, when I like kind of started dipping into my archive to make like more finished collage pieces.
Yeah.
And then subsequently like kind of pitch them to like bands and stuff.
Cool. You able to move that in just a little bit right there?
Or
scoot in?
Yeah, totally.
Just a little more quiet.
Yep.
But when you started doing that stuff, like with the collage, was that, you said it was a side project, and were you already freelancing, like just design and illustration and whatever?
Yeah, I pretty much had a illustration portfolio when I graduated, which was just like pen and ink drawings. Mm. And
more like traditional fine art.
Fine art. And then the collage came in, my sketchbooks, they would like creep in. And in retrospect, I was always kind of doing them, but I didn't think anything of them. Mm-hmm. But they were always appealing to me because they were so engaging, and like using photographs, they're almost a little bit more just like I can make like pictures more quickly.
Yeah.
And the illustrations I was doing took forever.
Right.
So I think that, you know, at a certain point, I just started like doing more mixed media, and I would kind of like do both. And now it's like my main style is collage, but I still do like illustration like on the side now.
And do you do any different client work illustration, or not really?
I've been commissioned, like private commissions, when people see like
just
my illustrations.
Just for themselves to enjoy or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Brian Washington, who is one of Tyler's managers, he commissioned me to do like this Jay-Z and Diddy illustration of them on like their like
just pagers. For his apartment or house
or
whatever.
Like for his house. So,
that's sick.
Yeah, it's like I still love illustration, but in the commercial world, it's better to have like almost like one style that the client knows what they're gonna get. So I found myself kind of like being like, oh, I do collage and illustration, and that was almost like it was just too many styles.
Yeah. And do you feel that when, now that you've kind of established this like collage look, when you get either if you reach out to, or if like companies like more like advertising reaches out to you, are they looking for like specifically that, like they're already like just do your thing kind of collage stuff?
Yeah, I feel like the, definitely like the collage medium is my most like sought after, but after like doing pretty much like a whole year of more like typographic experiments, a lot of the clients last year were hitting me up to do type work. So it's like, it's almost like whatever I'm doing at the time, that's what I get hired for.
Is your type stuff, like I've seen some stuff that you've done like that, like for like the Spotify things and stuff, like the like covers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Is that just pretty much all digital then?
Well, my type work is similar to my collage work in that I source a lot of type specimens and lettering from like magazines and then kind of stitch them together digitally. So a lot of the type is like found just like the collage images are. And that's why some of the vintage typefaces I'm working with, I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
And
you just got the letters you got.
Yeah, I got the letters I got. And, you know, I'll like sometimes use that as inspiration and then like use fonts that are similar to that if I have to like spell stuff out. But it's kind of a cool process, like kind of using these like little like illustrations and, you know, bits and doodads from old like Life magazine like ads, like you can find interesting like line work and and after doing a lot of those like logo lockups, they kind of translated to the Comfort Club stuff that I started doing. So I didn't really know how I was going to apply it, but I was really thinking that they could look great on clothes. So after like putting together some graphics, I decided to start my own brand because I had so much like graphic content to work with.
I mean that like the typeface I use for like the logo type, it's really like in that world of like kind of 70s like bubbly, like chubby serif like style.
Yeah, everyone fonts, like thinks it's Cooper, but
it's not.
No.
What is it? Secret?
It's not even a secret, but it's like the Windsor extra bold.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little F, like that's like a nice little touch.
Yeah, and then I like I squeeze in and there's a couple of nice little ligatures that are happening that are like kind of like what makes the logo to me.
Right. You see, a little swooping into the O. And so we'll throw up a little picture. So I'm not just talking about his t-shirt the whole time. But like, I feel like what you were saying was interesting too about a little bit back, how you said like, oh, I loved collage work and I loved illustration, but like you could produce like just as like respectable things in like a shorter amount of time, you know? And I feel like you just pump out like shit on Instagram, you know, like for how, like, I feel like for the level that you're at, you post a lot more often and like consistently than a lot of people that I follow. And how do you like stay that consistent and like driven to just, do you backlog stuff? Are you every day just getting something ready?
I mean, I feel like even if I posted more at a more rapid rate, I still wouldn't be sharing everything that I've done. So it's just like, they're like little sketches and stuff that I like posting because they're like colorful and they like, as my work gets a little bit more abstract, I like sharing like, you know, behind the scenes and like these little experiments and ideas. So basically I'm using it not as a portfolio page really, but as a living studio document.
And it's almost similar to like how people did use like Tumblr and those things and stuff. Like it's like a blog and like,
I mean, the feed's dead anyway. So it's just like, I might as well just like use it for what it's worth and, and really just like lay it all out. You know, I think really heavily curated stuff is cool too, but that's just not really my style.
I mean, I've went through everything from like not caring enough and like just posting shit that's just outright bad at some points or like being so worried about like either keeping everything in its own style guide or like colors and textures. And it's like, you can't even like post half the shit you want to post because you're like, well, it's not white, you know, or it's not black or however.
Yeah, I feel like the really clean grid has like stopped a lot of people from posting stuff that doesn't fit. It just depends on what you want to do with it. I really like just the engagement of like in real time posting up ideas and getting feedback, and you can always delete. So it's just like,
you see what hits or whatever.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the internet is a weird place because some of the shit that I'm like, fuck it, it does like the better than I ever imagined. And other shit, you work on stuff for all along and everyone's like, it's cool, I guess, you know?
Yeah, you can never predict it. It's usually the simplest stuff with the most appeal to like not common denominator, but, you know, yeah, more mass appeal. Like, even the simplest just, concepts do way better.
Right, because it's easier to, like, digest.
It's more palatable. You know? Unfortunately, I haven't really learned that
yet. Yeah.
And I'm just, like, always in my heady world. But I think that the most successful artists are able to bring people into their worlds and to, like, explain it.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful, like, trait to have, like, being able to simplify, like, the abstract and kind of put it through a filter and, like, just spit it back out so it's easier for people to understand.
Totally.
And do you actually, because you said you're like, whatever, I'll post whatever on there at some point, but
yeah,
do you get a lot of clients through social media, or is it like through, do you have any type of like management or anything like that?
I get clients through social media all the time. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of track it, but it's also a little bit unpredictable in that usually your work would be spotted in like a couple different places, mm-hmm, for clients to hit you up. And I found that like someone will see my work in like 3 or 4 different places. Then it'll make the connection that I did all those pieces.
And they'll just use that platform to reach out. And then they'll hit me up.
And then, like, you know, my website has a contact form, and mm-hmm, I have a business manager that takes inquiries as well. So it's really, you know, it's really easy to get in contact if you're trying to.
Yeah.
I don't really list my email because nothing is going, like, to me personally, but it's through my website. It's just my name, and okay, you can just hit me up.
And how did you get in touch with, like, the Free Nationals and PAC and all that stuff originally?
Back in 2013 or 2014, I just started doing some like posters for Anderson. Mm-hmm. I was doing a bunch of illustrations actually at the time for like portraits of like rappers and stuff like
that.
So he wanted one. We were just in loose contact, and then all of a sudden he needed a flyer, and I was like, all right, well, let's actually do your portrait and just turn that into a flyer.
Is this like pre-Venice still?
This was right before Venice. Yeah. And the flyer was used for a party at the Lyric, and it was basically a monthly, I think in 2014. And every week he had a stacked roster of like LA underground. And I remember the last show, the single Drugs came out. Oh. And I did the single cover for that. And then Venice dropped. I did the cover for that. And he was buzzing in LA, but I was still in Philly. So even though I was like tapped in and knew.
You just met him online pretty
much? Yeah, it was like through like Twitter. Like he hit me up for the flyer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of kept in touch. And I remember doing the Venice cover, and that was like a big deal, but it was still like early. Mm-hmm. And 2014, 2015, people, especially on the East Coast, were a little more unaware of Anderson.
Right.
So I was like
California.
I had like I had like planted my seed of like artwork out here and been working with a couple LA cats, but it wasn't really until late 2015 when Anderson and then the team hit me up to work on the Malibu project.
Right.
And then things like really started moving for me when that like came out. And then like almost every year later, the Malibu cover kept gaining more exposure. It was weird because like in 2016, when it came out, it dropped in like January. So like for me seeing like, how the cover was going to affect me, I didn't really see that until like years later. And then everybody was like, we want the Malibu cover. We want the Malibu cover. And then you started seeing like a lot of collage work more in like the hip hop space. Mm-hmm. It was interesting, man. Like definitely I felt like because we like worked on so many pieces in the Malibu campaign, and like we developed this like really tight collage aesthetic, which took my collage work, but tightened it and made everything like really cohesive and conceptual.
I mean, that shit was crazy. I remember like first seeing it, I was like super impressed, and I don't know if I was already aware of you or like that's one of the factors that brought me to it. But then I remember just seeing that and like not as like a client, like, oh, we need this work, but saying like, I just want to see more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it helped because it was like, especially if you're on the East Coast, like this California style, like kind of R&B and like hip hop, and then using that like very surfer, like collage aesthetic, like it's kind of foreign over there, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And bringing in his whole thing is like, you know, with the different cities over here and everything. So, and are you pretty much, I don't know, like he kind of just hits you up now consistently whenever stuff's coming out.
Well, we did a ton of work together in 2019, like in partnership with Vans.
Yeah, that was cool.
So he did like a house party in Chicago at the House of Vans skate park. And I did like a full gallery takeover. And then
that was the big ass thing, right?
There was a mural, landscape. A VR, like a virtual reality experience, like a plant room, like neon plant covered like drum kit, and then like that's a firewall. So it was like a huge show, like with 8 different activations.
Yeah.
And then they played Free Nationals, played Kadia Bonet, played, and it was really cool. And then Vans hit me up to do like their Side Stripe series, which is the band playing in a big shoebox. And I did the mural behind them for that. I feel like that was the last time I officially worked with Anderson, but I've been working with the Free Nationals on like
their own stuff.
Just did their helped with their documentary.
I saw that.
Like, titling and I'm in there a little bit. And then there's like some more stuff on the horizon with the Nats too.
That's dope.
Yeah,
the little doc was cool, and it was like Thundercat was in there too, right?
Yeah, Thundercat was in there. Omos Keith. It was, you know, pretty.
And that was just kind of like a self-published thing.
That was through Empire, which is like one of the biggest West Coast labels for underground hip hop and rap, and even mainstream.
How do you? I feel like you do all this stuff, and one thing I thought that was interesting is like your kind of like this like whole Palm Springs like getaway like location thing. I feel like I always see you on Instagram like posting about that kind of stuff. And is that just like a place you like to go to recharge and like get away from like when you're working and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the desert just has a certain appeal for like any like Angeleno, just like dip out to like Joshua Tree or like Palm Springs or both, you know what I mean? They're just like both right there.
And it's like, it's far, but it's not, you know,
it's not far compared to like other spots in Cali. It's pretty close.
Cause you don't want to go all the way up to like NorCal or whatever.
Exactly. Like Palm Springs is chill. I actually love Joshua Tree too. I think the desert just has kind of like a really quiet, almost like spiritual kind of vibe.
And at night it's like in this, if you go in like the spring and summer, this like skyline and everything is insane. Like the stars are like over here, it's like daytime at night, you know, from all the light pollution and stuff.
It's kind of nice to get out of the, you know, out of the hustle and bustle and just kind of like hear the silence.
It's so weird right now because like I don't really go anywhere, like for the most part, working from home and stuff. Like there's times where I'm like, it gets to like, you know, 6 p.m. or something. I'm like, oh, I should at least go for a walk or something, you know?
Like working from home. But, you know, I almost have the opposite problem because it's so nice every day. I'm look out the window and I'm like, all right, like I have to go for a walk. And then it's hard for me to like get back in the studio. So I'm more productive like in the morning, like really early in the morning. I'll wake up and just get a lot of stuff
done. Get your hours in pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you, because you can't really, at least for the collage work, you're not really going to be able to just take that to like a coffee shop and work on it, you know? You
kind of have to be in your own studio. Yeah, it's pretty spread out. Yeah, my practice, it's not private, but it's like personal, I would say. And I think that like I'm going to start kind of opening up my process to the public a bit more through like tutorials. And I really like how you give just like really clean Photoshop tutorials. I kind of want to kind of skill share some tips.
And I saw you sharing a little bit of stuff.
Exactly. So that's just me dipping my toes into like gaining some attention.
Seeing how it feels.
And I feel like most of my insight is going to come from like Q&A with people.
I think you have enough of people that know to where it won't be like, that'll be able to like start off hot. You know, you'll have enough questions in the chamber from people to where like, you don't have to even think of like the answers people want, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I just think like it would be cool to make like collage, you know, time lapses and TikToks and just like show how to make like a hand cut piece.
That shit will, live well on like TikTok, especially like if you record it in a specific style that isn't so much like teaching, but more just like, look at this and everything's popping on.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you can like really make it magical with editing. And when I'm in the zone, that's like the last thing I care about is like documenting. That's
what's hard. Yeah.
So yeah, it's almost about setting yourself up for that and maybe having an extra set of hands.
Yeah, you might need like a just a kind of, I don't know, like production assistant or whatever.
Right. To help because, you with that. Yeah, when you're creating, it's that's a whole, whole space.
Especially because, I mean, I'm sure you get spread out, you know, pretty wide, and you have your like X-Acto and your cupboard.
Yeah, and totally. And, you know, I've like learned how to like do like micro setups. And lately, I've been kind of just composing little pieces on the scanner and like moving those around and like just ripping a ton of scans and making like double the amount of collages in a way.
Yeah. Are you,
but not gluing anything down.
You can pretty much scan in your, assets and then just throw them in like digitally, right? Pretty
so
much.
Yeah, I'll like scan in all the assets and I'll have those digitally and then I'll be freed to use those for a physical collage too. So
that's, what's cool is if you use those and you scan it in digitally, it's easy to like, you know, get out to the world, but you can still create like something that's like one of one. It's like still totally physical.
And I also think that the hand cutouts feel more organic to me, even though like you can't really tell from first glance. My cuts by hand are better than my cuts in Photoshop. And I'm just like way more precise and
analog
exact.
Masking.
So then like it saves time. I have all these, you know, bits and pieces that are already cut out.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, like, because I saw you too, like, we were messing a little bit with like After Effects and like seeing how you can implement some of that.
It's the same process, and I really don't even know how to use it, but I think it's cool to make stuff move around. And I actually did one like controlled like one where I kind of thought about what it was going to turn out like, and it was this skull. And the flowers are like really small and they just like start to grow and like kind of overtake the landscape when the sun's kind of like going down. So that was a cool experiment. And honestly, like the collage style lends itself so well to animation that I feel like that's just the next frontier for me. Like after doing those, I kind of just want everything to move now.
And since you already are in that like more analog and like, I guess, hand like rougher aesthetic, the animation can be more like a like slower frame rate or whatever, you know, because it doesn't have to be so smooth, because everything's that might even look weirder than it being a little like.
Yeah, I feel like it makes the most sense for me to animate my stuff because the motion is going to be like the same motion as the cuts and the composition. So it's like, you know, I want things to like wiggle in and out and grow, and it just takes like the two-dimensional collage work to the next level. And I feel like as an artist, we always like motion is always the next frontier, no matter what the medium is.
It's intimidating sometimes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you need more power to operate.
Yeah, in that space for sure. Too. Do you like, how do you feel, I guess, coming from like what you do and like this, the way that you do it, like a lot more analog. Do you have like, how do you feel about like just pure digital and like Photoshop, I guess, more like photo manipulation, I guess you could call it, or like compositions? Do you think that, like, are you interested in any of that? Or do you think that like you like it being done strictly this way?
That's like an interesting question because sometimes my work is, you know, digital and I'm trying to make it look analog, especially for client work for like major labels.
You have a lot of revisions or whatever.
It's that, and it's licensing issues. So basically for major labels,
the actual photo is the original.
Yeah. So basically that's coming from a digital environment. And, you know, my more corporate work tends to look a little bit cleaner because of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not really mad at that. I think that it's a good thing that it looks cleaner, because mm-hmm. sometimes the messy stuff that I enjoy so much is just maybe a little too vintage for, you know, certain bands and,
a cold brew
and brands, or cold brew company.
Yeah.
But it just, it depends on what the project is, because at the end of the day, we're graphic designers and mm-hmm. problem solvers. And,
right.
you know, I don't approach every project with collage. That's just something that I'm really good at and yeah. people like. But the illustration comes in if it's necessary for the assignment. Mm-hmm. I've illustrated album covers, like the Vacationer cover. That's an illustration.
Right. And the future, like Hendrix one. And the future, really either,
that's, you know? Yeah, it's neither. It's like punk rock, distortion, like yeah. kind of heavy metal. That was actually all in photocopier.
Nice.
With like just Photoshop color and
yeah, it's very like Xerox. Like
yeah, lines, it's very Xerox. Know? So yeah, it's really like what the project dictates. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love collage, I love to remind people that that's not my only one medium.
Trick. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I actually had a question that you kind of touched on there. I was going to say, like, do you approach it differently when working with, let's say, like Turnstile versus like Ray-Bans, you know?
Yeah, because the Turnstile stuff, even though, yeah, the Turnstile stuff is interesting because it's almost like a mixture. It's like really heavily art directed and heavily designed, but using collage mm-hmm. in a way that's really subtle, and then using the photocopy aesthetic in a way that's really subtle too.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a harmonious blend of like all of my worlds, and we're actually working on something right now too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they, if you look in like, for example, like in the Time and Space one, like with what's within the actual circle, mm-hmm. you can, if you don't look at it hard, it looks just like a still black and white, like yeah. film photo, you know?
Right.
And then you see like the little separations and like the, like little circles in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And did you work on the, is that the first thing you worked on for them, or did you?
That's the first thing. And then we did the Share of You, Mall Grab.
Yeah.
EP.
Cause I looking at like, you know, like, Nonstop Feeling, it's like a, it's in almost in the same, but it's like a different whole, like so much more color and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, they approached me right before Time and Space and really were influenced by like old jazz covers and Sun yeah. Ra. And the direction was so on point that, you know, we were able to establish an aesthetic that we've kind of carried out through the other covers mm-hmm. and the new stuff that we're working on right now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. And that relationship isn't as much like, you didn't know them as long as in a way you knew like Anderson and them, right?
No, but I would say that we, just because we're working on stuff right now, I feel like just kindred spirits.
Closer, yeah.
And we're pretty close, just on a like art and design level. You know, I'm working with the lead singer, but everybody in the band is so cool. Like yeah. I really like these guys.
And I mean, their like shows are fucking dope too.
Yeah, they're really dope. And
you brought that energy yeah. into the art, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like it's just, that's the power of good creative direction, mm-hmm. honestly. Especially, you know, as a designer, I think that a lot of us are forced to play the role of creative director and designer. Mm-hmm. But in the real world, it's maybe more harmonious when you have a great creative director and art director kind of leading the project.
Yeah.
Because the ideation and the conceptual creation, you know, designers are good at that, but I feel like we just are more powerful in a team. So that's one yeah. case where they really had a specific idea
and
my style was perfect for the idea.
Because if you're carrying like, you know, like one man armying it,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I can get, by the time you're getting to like the production, you're so burnt out on like conceptualizing from the very scratch, or yeah. vice versa. They have it so polished. You're like, so you just want me to plug it in basically and like finish it.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a different perspective too, because, you know, if some people just want, they think they want to be told that they can do whatever they want, but that's actually a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
Like, go crazy, bro. Is yeah. that like art direction for right. me? I'm just like, no, like, let's
yeah.
think about this. Let's talk about it.
Constraints like are the can be the most helpful and least helpful thing at the same time.
Yeah, I think constraints for a reason mm-hmm. make a lot of sense. Like, there's no reason to make boxes just because, but, you know, to be limited in imagery and color palette and font choices. It breeds,
like, innovation, you know, when yeah, you're, like, totally. Back up against the
wall. Even working in black and white, I feel like I always like bringing it back to the basics, because you can do so many things right. without color, too.
And you have to worry, it lets you focus a lot more on, like, the shape and form and texture and things, because mm-hmm. you can't just throw in, like, that, like, neon green to, like, kind of pop it everywhere, you know?
Exactly.
And I feel that same way, like you said, people think you want that. Like, I've had people that are like more friends. Mm-hmm. They're like, bro, just make me like, I need a logo for like this, like fucking pre-roll company or whatever. Yeah. They're like, just do your thing. Like no limits. And I'm like, all right, well, and I already know, like, there's going to be limits after I come back with the first thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that's also the thing that we have to recognize is like, maybe don't spend so much time on the first draft, because that's what jogs the client's memory into figuring out what they really want. And that's happened so many times where I present something that's really great. You get attached
to it or something.
Yeah, I get attached to it. And they're like, oh, like after seeing this, I actually know what I want now. And that's like part of the game too. But that's just something that we learn along the way. And I feel like, you know, establishing a common ground with mood boards and references is just mm-hmm. the easiest way to get on the same page.
What's your process in like a onboarding with like, is it different with like musicians versus like corporate more stuff or whatever?
Yeah, sometimes a corporate client has the mood board and creative direction mm-hmm. already. But for bands, some bands will kind of have like a lead singer or something that plays like a creative director role and has like a bunch of references,
correspondence too between like
exactly. So it's really like every single situation is different, and I also have to play creative director a lot of the times as well. Mm-hmm. But I love, you know, making a good mood board, but half of the time I just get inspired by the music and start creating and pulling images. And then I just like make like a mock-up and go from there. I also like presenting like one idea. I know that's different from like a lot of designers, but I think it's something that I learned from like Don Draper and Mad Men. It's just like anything more than one makes you look like you haven't figured it out yet.
Right. Yeah. That's a,
you know,
that's how like you hear those stories too with like, people like OG logo designers like Paul Rand or something.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, where are the options? And they're like, no, you hired me. Like, this is what I gave that's you. What you wanted, right?
Exactly.
And
like, it's not like it's not like a choose your own story.
Yeah.
Like choose your own adventure. You know what I mean? If you want to design it, like, that's fine. We'll charge you more and you can design it yourself.
I talked about this too with like, cause when I went to school in Chico, like the professors, like, I think they taught me like a good amount about fundamentals, and they were like real OG, you know, like they went to like the masters, like Yale shit. And like Rand was like one of their professors and stuff. And, it was like a couple duo. And, the guy Frank, who like kind of headed like branding and stuff, he was like, when you pitch, let's say you pitch three ideas, he's like, if never pitch the one that you like the least, cause they'll choose that one for sure. Totally. You know? And then you gotta run with it.
Yeah.
Kind of like did it to yourself, you know?
That's happened to me a lot of the times too. Yeah, it's funny. I really like presenting one cover, and I think that, you know, a lot of clients are expecting just to be able to pick from like 15 or 20.
Does it usually like, is usually a good response?
But with type, I'll do that. Like,
oh, okay.
Like all like the finishing stages, it's like, all right, like which one do you like better? You know?
What would you think is like the favorite just thing you've worked on overall pretty much?
Well, the House of Vans art installation was great because I was given the opportunity to work with more of a budget than normal.
Yeah.
So I got to, kind of scale up a lot of my ideas, like a collage mural that was, you know, 18 feet wide.
How was the cutting out of that stuff?
So I got everything printed in like huge pieces. So I basically sent them, you know, Photoshop files of stuff that I cut out.
Die cut it pretty much.
And they die cut it. And basically it was kind of like working on like a massive collage. I spray mounted all the huge pieces. Like
Damn.
Anderson's head was like this big on the wall. It was awesome. And just extra set of hands.
That's cool. Yeah. And then it was like those like checkered shoes, right? Wasn't that like part of the...
So I, yeah, like the Vans checkerboard is a big part of their brand. So I incorporated that in both projects I did for them. Mm-hmm. I made this like checkerboard, like tunnel, kind of like op art. I was just playing with all these different...
Like, was it fun effects. Like the actual event
and the event was insane. Yeah. Like they let in like 1,000 kids for free.
Oh, what? That's
and
cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was just like a live show in a skate park, and just seeing the mural like in real time in the party was amazing. And the virtual reality experience was something new for me too, because I basically created this Venice Beach skateboarding experience myself, where I rented a like a 3D camera. It's like,
oh shit,
and filmed all the footage and had my
riding around,
convert it to VR. Yeah, riding around Venice Beach. And damn, basically Vans set up a like, you know, 6 skateboard deck where the boards were mounted into the ground, but people could ride them with the VR set.
Oh,
and
what?
It was so real that like I almost like fell off the board. Like we had bike racks set up because it was like it was like a ride basically.
Yeah,
so that was like it's something like Tony Hawk, that expanded my like artistry into like a different medium completely. Mm-hmm. But like we had like my artwork popping up in the experience, like as murals in Venice Beach.
That's sick.
So that was like a really cool, inclusive way.
And it was in Chicago,
way.
You said?
This was in Chicago.
So they're like, what the fuck?
We had Venice like a Beach? Taste of LA never seen this, in Chicago. Know? Yeah. So that was like something that kind of expanded me as an artist. And then I really just like doing these kind of like solo exhibitions. I did one at the Urban Outfitters space.
A lot of that's like a lot of the gradient stuff and things.
A lot of the gradients and stuff like that. Yeah. So those are really great. And then as far as like commercial projects, the Ray-Ban campaign was one of my favorites to work on, because it was just a full like 40 asset campaign, and everything was animated as well. So
that one looked a lot more, like they gave you some freedom in the way of like how you laid everything out. And
there was a lot of boxes, but a lot of freedom within that. Like I got to do my thing.
Yeah.
And that was really cool because you got to see it in the world, like at the stores, like in the displays, like as you know, they're
out of home and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that as like a graphic designer, seeing the project exist like that in the real world, that's always the most satisfying thing. Same thing with the future, like you know, seeing the work I did for the Wizard. Right? Yeah, they had billboards for that and in Times Square. So I feel like that's like the most affirming thing as a designer, seeing your work exist in the real world.
Go and take a picture.
Knowing that people are just seeing it. And loving the fact that it's just existing in people's visual fields, not like, you know, they don't know who you are, but you're shaping people's environments anyway.
And that's what's cool. Like, especially like, I feel like you've probably experienced some of this, like when you start getting more of that audience, they're like, wait, that was you, you know? And like,
you're totally. Like, yeah. There's always, I feel like that's why it's important to post, you know, work that you've done and maybe posted before, because as we get new followers, you know, it helps to like refresh and to connect that. And there's still a ton of people that follow me that didn't know I did like the Malibu cover.
Yeah,
and I like actually love that, because it's like an element of discovery.
Yeah.
And when people make that connection and come to me, I think that's so cool, because as an art lover, I would be doing the same thing and getting geeked when I realized the same artist did a couple of my favorite covers or whatever. So
right.
I'm like tickled and like really like humbled. And I just love when people like reach out and they've seen the work in the real world.
And then if they discover it later, like you were saying, then you know that it wasn't only that like got you them as a fan or whatever. Mm-hmm. They even were liking what you're still doing, you know? It wasn't like a one-trick thing.
And this is a little bit different, but it's just important to keep on chipping away at like every project, like, you know, making it your best one, because when that comes out, it just reaffirms your past clients that they made the right choice to hire you previously, and increases your chances that they will come back and hire you after seeing the new project.
Yeah. And what made you, I know you said you had a lot of stuff with type and things. What made you start with the Comfort Club stuff? Like, is it, was there any inspiration behind it other than like, oh, I have like, I want to do some more type stuff or whatever?
Definitely. Well, I feel like probably being on like lockdown and quarantine had a lot to do with it, because I was in sweatpants all the time
and
really had a little bit of extra time to kind of experiment. So really I was gonna do just like a sweatsuit for like friends, and the more I started posting, the more people started, you know, showing their interest in it. So I kind of like took a bunch of ideas from this poster series called Giant Leap I was doing. I tried to do a poster a day in 2020. I ended up doing like 45 or something. I got too busy. But then I started going back and looking at them, realizing they would look really dope on clothes. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe
that was like, when you had a lot more of the like iconography and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to like breathe fresh life into those designs. And I had a couple ideas for a brand. And then like, you know, things just kind of like came together at the end of the summer. I decided on the Comfort Club, and it was kind of like a capsule collection I had pitched to a different brand and realized that I really liked it and decided to keep it for myself. And like the Life in the Zone idea was from that. And really it just seemed like an entity in itself. So I wanted to just kind of like focus on that and grow it.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to do a clothing brand, because
it's always like a small like fantasy for like any designer, I feel.
I feel like I saw a lot of friends doing it, and not like I just wanted to like jump in and join the fun. I feel like I have something like unique to offer, and it's been received really well. And you know, I keep on scaling it up slowly and like, you know, increasing the quality. And
do you have
like our own tags now?
Is it just
you? It's just me, but I definitely have like a team of friends helping. Like I definitely wouldn't say it's just me, but I'm like designing
faces.
I'm like designing everything, and but also receiving a ton of help and kind of incorporating other friends' ideas and stuff.
It's cool to like, you know, as a designer, especially someone that's already kind of found like a style or like established like skills, you don't have to really, you can make it yourself, you know, like some people have ideas, but then they have to figure out if they can get a designer to do it for them. You know, it speeds up the process a lot more.
It does speed up the process. And, you know, I feel like I'm just getting started with exploring the language and the vernacular of Comfort Club. I feel like we've definitely established a lot of the house style, but it's a really cool platform for me to play around and do different stuff like through that avenue and apply it to even like one-off pieces. And just, you know, I feel like zines and publications and like different like offerings are going to be a big part of it as well. So it's kind of like boiling down everything that I do and using the Comfort Club as a launch pad to kind of like push out some like cool merch and ideas.
That's cool. So not just like, not strictly wearables. Like
not strictly wearables. Like we put out a candle and we have some jewelry coming out.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a lifestyle, like home goods idea. And it's just interesting to see where it can go. Like terry cloth bathrobes and slippers eventually, you know?
So, and I fuck with the like concept, because like, I mean, I have jeans and a shirt on right now, but like, this is the farthest I'll go for like wearing anything dressed up in the past year, you know?
Yeah.
I'm mostly just like, I had to up my game on just like fucking gym shorts and sweatpants, because like you wear them every day. After like 5 days, you're like, shit, I'm used to wearing like Dickies and shit every day or whatever.
Totally. Yeah. And we're all at the crib now wearing more sweatpants than ever. So might as well look clean and stylish and be super comfortable
at
the same time.
Is your since like you're at, we're all at home still, you strictly touched on or slightly touched on this in the beginning, you were you already kind of working that way anyway? Like you weren't, you had your studio and nothing's really changed with it,
right? I've always been someone that worked from a home studio because I think like with my collage practice, it just made the most sense. I have like a huge collection of books and magazines, and that kind of creates like the aura in the studio, kind of like energetically, I like being able to have my resources around me and so like make different connections on the spot.
Is it separated in like, I guess, your non practice and like working life from like just your living room or whatever, or is everything a lot more like one big unit?
Well, I try to keep it separated, but eventually with like collage, I end up like working like wherever the light is the best too.
Yeah. And it's like bleeding out to the side.
It bleeds out. And then I ended up doing like bigger stuff on the floor too. So it's like, it's really just a matter of, you know, just kind of like going with the flow. And then when I work on like really big pieces, I wish I had like a bigger studio, but then I'm like doing design work on my computer for a couple of months. So yeah, it doesn't really warrant like a big studio space yet, but I feel like I will head into a direction where, you know,
it's a separate building.
It's a separate building and I can work, because I really do like working bigger, and especially with collage too. Like, my collages can get like as big as I want them to get now. Mm-hmm. So it would be cool to kind of push that.
When you're posting stuff online, is some of that stuff a lot larger than you would think and you're scaling it down, or are you making it to like the 1350 by 1080 or whatever it is?
If I post the dimensions, that means it's like a pretty big physical piece and you should pay attention to the inches. Yeah. But other than that, it's usually like whatever fits on my scanner or like a Photoshop document.
8.5 by 11 or whatever.
But if I work in Photoshop, I usually like work with a huge file size in case the piece comes out really fire and I want to do prints from it. I just always start really big.
Yeah. I had a piece I did for my homies. Like, we did this like kind of, what do you call it? Like renegade, like rave thing out in like near Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
And, that thing was like 24 by 36, like the source file.
Yep.
And it started getting like ridiculous. Like it was like, you know, 12 plus gigs or whatever. And I had like, I was trying to, you know, I try to put up a lot of the stuff for like people that are on like my Patreon and stuff to like download it and they can dissect it. And I was like, I don't think your computer's going to handle this. Like someone was reaching out, like I have a Mac laptop. Like I was like, I don't think you could open this. It's like a PSB or whatever.
Large huge. Photoshop format.
And like,
I just automatically start off saving my files in that way.
Yeah. Cause you know, it's going to happen. Yeah. That's how it felt lately. I'm like, who am I kidding? Like this shit's getting over 2 gigs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I made a switch. Like I was always kind of Mac loyalist, but I just couldn't like do it, man. Like the price was getting me like so annoyed. So I just built like a PC.
That makes sense.
I've been on that since there.
Yeah.
You're pretty much, you work on just like a desktop Mac or what?
Yeah, I've been with, just like using Macs for a while. Mm-hmm. And we'll see when I start doing more animation and video work. But right now my setup is, it works. You know, it's a good workflow.
Yeah, because you're mostly, it's like static. So it
helps. It's just static, yeah. And then even with like little GIFs or even little animations,
if you're
it's
doing
totally
the,
fine too.
I think it'll help for, you know, you'll probably have to look into it when you do like the Skillshare or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Once I started trying to make YouTube videos, I was like, holy shit, like my laptop's going to fucking fly into the air, you know?
Yeah.
The fan and everything.
Yeah. Like the MacBook Pros, like they're great. But once you get into some serious work, you just got to step it up.
And it's, you feel like you're working on such a big thing in this little thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's confined after a while.
Totally.
Do you, like one last thing I kind of wanted to ask you is, how do you like, do you have anyone that you get inspired by consistently or look up to, and not only either, I guess, the design world or just art, anything like that?
Definitely. I try not to like look at too much contemporary stuff.
So you're back for it?
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't really been following his recent work, but I live on the same block as Shepard Fairey's gallery.
Oh, really?
And Studio One.
Because some of that old shit was fucking cool. Like,
yeah,
even before
even,
Obey and
even
all
like his current stuff, like, it's still really good. It's just different than what I'm checking for at the moment. But that's somebody that I really look up to as far as how they set up their business infrastructure. Because I've always dreamed of having like a multi-level building where an art gallery exists on the first floor, a design studio is attached to it, and there's an also a different studio for, you know, Brand Comfort Club.
Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just, you know, I take notes and see the FedEx guy pull up every day and the tubes of prints they're shipping out. And I'm just like, okay, this is somebody that has figured out the formula, you know. And although Obey as a clothing line isn't anything that we necessarily are checking for anymore, it's still like this template that I'm inspired by.
It's still like,
it's still a mega
people
brand.
People are buying that
people
shit.
People are buying it. Yeah. And it's like, wow, like this is a success story. Like this is what I want as well.
He also did a good job at, like, it was a good point to call out, like, whatever you think about, like, Obey or, like, you know, like, being a streetwear, like, clothing brand, it's so easy for you to become, like, not cool again all of a sudden or whatever. But he did a good job of whatever you think about that, like, his fine art and, like, actual shit is still, like, insane, you know? And then if you have a gallery, exactly. like, if you just look at that stuff, it's still, like, it doesn't matter what the other shit is, you know?
It doesn't matter. And you're right. Like in the streetwear world, it's so easy for the trends to shift. Mm-hmm. But he is a working artist, is pumping out great work. He has, you know, a design agency called Studio One that has major, major international clients. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the way he separated his skills into different businesses, and then he had Swindle Magazine too. So I'm like, okay. Like, even though this stuff is, like, what I grew up on, and it's, like, not, you know, Swindle is not around anymore, that's still, like, this amazing template to look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm inspired by so many different people, but I just see this building on my corner every day, and I'm like, okay, like...
Where is that at?
Print
Echo
sales?
Park?
Yeah, Echo Park, like, right on Sunset. Mm-hmm. Near the stadium.
Oh, okay.
But it's like print sales, clothing, gallery, and then agency. It's like, there you go.
That's a cool idea.
The award-winning,
like,
formula.
The architecture too, to actually be like, that's like some like evil villain shit, you know, like just having the different.
And I see Shepard pull up in his Tesla every day, and I'm like, okay, like this is such a cool way for me to visualize what I want as a future artist, like future.
Yeah, and it's like easy to like manifest it if you're like right next to it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm picking up the energy every day, like seeing the designs in the windows, and I'm like, you know, almost about to knock on the door and just say what's up, but you know, it's just cool, like creatively, to have that on the corner, because I looked up to him growing up, and you know, the whole like Beautiful Losers movement with Barry McGee and you know,
and I mean
those
everyone,
Green, and just all these artists that,
and when everything like that, when he did like the, all the Andre the Giant shit, like everything that was like just like, you know,
That's like such an amazing story of how this, it's like one of the original memes in a way, like, you know, before like the internet got a hold, like this thing was, you know, causing some attention.
Yeah,
as a sticker.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
What was one thing I want to tell you? I want you to be able to just like throw out all your links and everything like that.
Okay.
Just, like,
well, my website is just DeweySaunders.com. Instagram and Twitter are Dewey Saunders. So
good.
Yeah, it's just really easy. I think that's also like a tip for younger designers, kind of like establishing like what your name is, and like maybe just using your real name.
Yeah.
And like having the same picture and and same like you know, username for all your stuff. Like just
to
keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Comfort Club, is it like USA or something like that?
Oh, so it's comfortclub.us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. I mean, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It
Thank
was like cool to finally meet you. And
yeah, it was a great talk.
Good conversation.
Appreciate you having me.
And hope you guys enjoyed, and definitely go check out all his stuff, and we'll see you guys next time.